3:03, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday afternoon. My friends, we are back at it, full speed, 110%. We have a lot that we're going to deal with. Now, half hour from now, dear friend of mine, Jimmy Galliano, you know Gags, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. He's got some insight. He's got some analysis. He's got some very pointed thoughts on the United States Secret Service and what they did or did not do when there was that attempted assassination of President Trump. I know you're thinking, well, Jeff, I'm on Google right now. They don't have an attempted assassination of President Trump. In fact, if I put that phrase in, it comes up and says, basically, we don't know what you're talking about. This is part of the danger of the times in which we live. Big tech, as we speak, actively scrubbing any mention of the attempted assassination on President Trump. I don't know about you, I watched it live. Heidi and I were seated at the bar. I always feel so weird saying that, but what can I tell you? We bought a house and had a bar, and we have really learned to love it. That's where we do our entertaining. So we're seated at the bar. It's a Saturday evening. Joe and Emily are out. Julia is watching a show, so it's just the two of us. And we're sitting in the bar. We have an adult beverage. Why? Because we're sitting at the bar. Can't be sitting there drinking lemonade, for gosh sakes. Anyway, so we're sitting there, and we're having a cocktail, and it's Saturday evening, and we had this whole big dinner plan. Let me tell you something. I had been to Tom Leonard's Farmer's Market. I got the steaks that I like. May even have splurged on some seafood that we like. It was going to be sort of kind of like a date night, you know? We're watching television. And I just kind of assumed we'd watch a movie. We'd watch one of these tireless, tedious British costume dramas that Heidi loves. I don't actually watch them. That's when I leave, but I thought, well, you know, it's kind of a date night, so we should probably stick around. And then what do we see? We see the image of my president, Donald John Trump, being shot. That's what I saw. That's what Heidi saw. And they replayed it over and over and over. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is absolutely insane. They just tried to kill Donald Trump. Now, you remember what I did, right? I said, I got to go to work. I got to go to work. And left this dinner that we were going to have and came out here to the studio. Did some stuff on Facebook Live just so we would have immediate coverage and reporting and discussion on it. Jeremy gave up all sorts of stuff. Get into the studio to help us out, get us live on the air. You know, regardless of what people think, it's, you know how when you were a kid, you just thought that school teachers lived at the school, right? So if you ever saw a school teacher in the supermarket, it was like, oh, that's weird. I thought you guys just, you know, went to the lunchroom or the cafeteria. But they have lives. And the same thing for us. So when you have a huge story breaking and then we all of a sudden have to kick it into gear, we have to kick it into gear. So again, just a hat tip to Jeremy, who said, all right, well, I'm giving up my plans. I'm on my way to the studio, the radio factory. So we did that. But we all saw it. This is my point. We all saw it. And now just a matter of 2-3 weeks later, Google and the rest of the big tech leftists are in there actively scrubbing it and pretending it didn't happen. This is right out of the old Soviet Union, for goodness sakes. If you are old enough to remember the Soviet Union, and now I do need to be cognizant that there's a generation that really has never known the Soviet Union or East Germany. So let me explain to you, kids. Gather around. I'll explain it. Back in the olden days, when you had communists leading, well, openly communist, because Putin is what he is. Well, he's more of a fascist, but they would have a photo, and you'd say, oh, this is a member of the Politburo, this is the guy who leads the, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then 6 months later, it'd be the same photo, but you go, hey, remember the guy who was there? Yeah, he doesn't, you know, he's not there anymore. Oh, they just go in and they erase him. They were doing Photoshop before Photoshop was doing Photoshop. Before Photoshop was a thing, they were doing it. And I feel like we're in the middle of that right now. That big tech is scrubbing, actively scrubbing, the attempted assassination of President Trump. It's almost unbelievable. But you and I are seeing it play out in real time. So that is a very, very disturbing situation. And Jimmy Galliano is going to be here to talk about what the Secret Service got right. I have a feeling that might be a very short list, and what the Secret Service got wrong. The local police in Butler, Pennsylvania, are saying that the Secret Service didn't even chat with them until after the shooting. I find that hard to believe, though. I really do. You can fault the Secret Service, and man, this is certainly not a page that's going to go in their highlight booklet. But the idea that the Secret Service, whoever was the lead person on that, whoever was doing the planning on site, did not speak to the local police, I find that so hard to believe. We'll dig into it. But Jimmy Galliano doing better than anybody else, and he'll be here at 3:33. Oh, and racing is coming back. How happy am I about this? Richmond Raceway Complex, you know I love the people over there. I really do. They're just such good people. And Lori Warren, who is the... Well, she's the president, and I think there are one or two other titles, but she's in charge of Richmond Raceway Complex. And Lori is going to join us at 4:33 to talk about some of the great racing that is coming back to town. I'm very, very excited about that. Lori also was recently appointed by Governor Glenn Youngkin to the State Commission on Tourism. And there is simply nobody better qualified than Lori Warren, so I'm very excited about that. A couple of days ago, you remember Chris Wray? He's the FBI director. I'm so torn on Chris Wray. Honest to goodness, I really am. I remember meeting him for the first time. He actually came to Richmond, and it was not a public event, but I was invited to meet with Chris Wray, Christopher Wray. And I thought that he seemed to be a good man. I didn't really know much about him other than the official CV, the official resume. Very, very smart man, clearly. And I thought, okay, well, this is going to be a good recovery for the Bureau. It's going to bring the FBI back to where it needs to be image-wise. I'm going to remind you that I always look at the FBI and I'm thinking the brick agents. I am thinking those men and women who every single solitary day since the day the FBI was founded have gone out and done exactly the job that they are supposed to do and have not been involved in politics, have not been involved in politicking. And they get caught in the middle of all of this. And the position of FBI director, just by virtue of the fact that they're appointed by, they're nominated by the president, it has to be political on some level, even though they try very, very hard to make it non-political. Right? The FBI director answers to the Attorney General of the United States, who is appointed by the president. So, again, try as hard as you may, there's going to be a political component. But I had hope for Christopher Wray. And a couple of years back, I think it's almost 5 years ago, I was selected for the FBI Director's Community Leadership Award. And it's a pretty big deal. I mean, it really is. It's a pretty big deal. And I was blown away that I had been nominated for and was going to receive that award. And it's a big production. The FBI brought me up to Washington, D.C. You may or may not remember on social media, I just kind of went dark for a couple of days. Now, that's a few years back, so you may not recall, but I did. I just kind of went dark because I couldn't tell anybody where I was, what I was doing, none of that. And it is such a, even then, 5 years ago, it was a high security matter because there were going to be a number of people inside FBI headquarters who were not special agents, who were not members of the FBI's police force. So it was very, very heavily involved. But I stood there in the auditorium at FBI headquarters, and Chris Wray presented me. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of crystal. I'm looking at it. If you were here at the broadcast position, it would be just at your 11 o'clock position. It's beautiful. But there have been moments where I've been very disappointed in Christopher Wray, including last week when he says, oh, I don't know if Donald Trump got hit by a bullet. What? Number one, let me say this with the most respect. Who the hell are you? You're not his doctor. Each of the doctors who examined and treated President Trump talked about how he had been hit by a bullet. This idea that he wasn't hit by the bullet comes from the crazy people, the bat crap crazy people at MSDNC. They're the way, whoa, we don't even know if he got hit. Again, let me ask you, Joy Reid, who the hell are you? How much experience do you have in ballistics, Joy? Where did you get your medical degree, Joy? Why are you so absent, Joy? Joy? I mean, these would be my questions. But he got shot. Well, you know, wasn't the most serious. Wasn't the most serious. If the man had turned his head a millimeter either direction, he'd be dead. But Christopher Wray last week said, well, we don't even know if he got hit. Yes, you do, actually. You absolutely do. Multiple doctors, actual folks who went to, you know, medical school, said that he got shot. Now, Jeremy's just sending me a message. Jeremy, is that correct? Did I miss this? The New York Times reporter claims they captured the bullet in midair? Oh, the photographer. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let me apologize for that. I'm looking at this. Jerm, as per usual, is right on the money here. Jeremy is rock solid at the Radio Factory. Good guy. That's right. I totally forgot about that, Jeremy. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, I had this image of a reporter like Superman grabbing the bullet. I'm thinking, that didn't happen. No, the New York Times had a photograph. New York Times, remember them? Not exactly part of the big, vast right-wing conspiracy. They have a photograph and they capture the image of the bullet. Anyway, so we're going to talk about all of that with Jimmy Galliano in a couple of moments. And in a couple of moments, I have to share what I have been up to just today, coming off of last night. It has been a very interesting 24 hours for me, and a good one, a good one. I am also, I'm going to Israel. I want to give you those details in a couple of moments. And that is actually what I was involved with this morning for, it seemed like 8 hours. I basically clocked the time I got up to the time now was spent getting this together, but we got it together. So I'll give you details on that. We got a lot of great stuff coming up. Let me please remind you about the Chronic Care of Richmond text line. That's always available to you. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. The Chronic Care of Richmond text line. Shoot me a text. I'll be more than happy to share it. If it meets standards, and it is the Jeff Katz Show, so I have a tendency to put the bar just a little bit lower so that I can get over it. The Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. 315, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Well, you can say that about a couple of things, right? The assassination attempt on President Trump, oh, that's being scrubbed. That absolutely vile opening piece from the Olympics in Paris, oh, that's being scrubbed as well. Oh, you saw it, didn't you? Well, are you going to believe me or your lying eyes? That's where we are right now. It's insanity. It's absolutely insanity. Jeff, just think, if the assassination attempt had been on Joe Biden, the lying legacy media would have blamed Donald Trump from the get-go, 804 says. You're right. You're right. Jeff, speaking of communism, you see this going on in your hometown? Well, Ashland is now my hometown. The city of my birth, Philadelphia, yeah, had communists. Communists. Marching through the streets, calling for communism. Scott says, don't forget, they're scrubbing the Last Supper Olympics opening ceremony to you. You're correct. Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jimmy Galliano's going to be up next. He's taking him to town. He's going to talk about the leadership at the FBI, the leadership at the Secret Service. Listen, Jimmy's retired. Jimmy doesn't have to worry about answering to anybody in that regard. except the people. Jimmy is all about truth. One of the many reasons that I hold him in such high esteem and personal regard. So let me tell you what I'm doing. Last night, there were 100 people that came out to the Friendship Circle. It was a sellout, the quest for cookies. It's my little discussion about Julia's adventures and how she was able to navigate from what we were sure was a really, really safe room. It's also why we're getting her own bedroom with Dave Mangano and the gang from Damn Fine Carpentry. But I told the story, and I prefaced that story with a story about my Aunt Ethel, who had a very difficult life as she was growing up. But it was so wonderful to be there. And you know that I love the Friendship Circle. I love the people at the Friendship Circle. I love the mission of the Friendship Circle. And to be able to present this to an audience that in large part had never heard of the Friendship Circle. Some people knew me from social media. Some people have listened. Whatever it was a sellout. It was wonderful. And it was supplemented with really, really good food and beautiful cookie bracelets from the absolute queen of bracelets, my dear friend Emily Morrissey. So I got to tell you, it sounds a little weird. I've been on a high ever since then. But this morning, I had to finalize details for this trip to Israel. Very, very quick. It came up very, very quick. But I'm determined to go. So I had to go through the process with the Israeli government to get approval, sort of like a visa, not quite as difficult, I guess. And then I had to actually book airline tickets. And it just, oh, my gosh. Now, I wound up with Delta, and then I realized, wait a minute, they're the ones who were the star of all of these meltdown disasters the last week, but it was going to be the best way to go. And every time I tried to actually book it, they go, oh, that fare's not available anymore. And it went up and up and up, and finally they said, oh, that fare's not available. It's $13,000. I said, all right, I'm out. I'm tapping out. I'm just going to take a walk around the house. And it was a little more than I had budgeted for, but nonetheless, we're going to be able to make it happen, and I'm looking forward to that. Also looking forward to Jimmy Galeano coming up in just a couple of moments, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, pulling absolutely no punches today. He'll be exposing the leadership of the FBI and the Secret Service. Whew. Better gird your loins or Lloyd your gurns, because we've got a lot of good stuff coming. It is 3:27, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Monday afternoon. Weather is actually pretty nice. We might see some showers later on, but at the moment, it's comfortable. Humidity, what can I tell you? It's July in Central Virginia. Lori Warren from Richmond Raceway Complex is going to be with us in just about an hour. We got racing coming back to town. Nobody better to talk about it than Lori. And I will again salute her for being named by Governor Glenn Youngkin to the Virginia State Tourism Commission. She is amazing. And she'll be with us at 4:33. I'll tell you what, Jimmy Galeano is no slouch either. Jimmy Galeano has served this nation one way or another his entire adult life. Retired from the FBI as a supervisory special agent, has been on so many vital details and task forces, now serves as the mayor of his town in New York, and we're just so fortunate to have him, because you'll notice, as Jimmy writes for places like the New York Post and Fox News and is appearing on major television programs, everybody wants him. And I'm happy to say that we're able to grab him on a pretty regular basis. Jimmy, thank you for being here.
Jeffrey, thanks for having me. And I just want to say one thing. I was working hard to try to get down to Central Virginia. I wanted to surprise you and come in for the quest for cookies. I really, really was trying to pull this off, and I just couldn't make it happen. But I followed it. I've obviously followed your and Heidi's legacy with Julia and just the amazing things that you have done. And I got to say this. I mean, what a special kid and what a special set of parents. And you didn't put me up to this. I had to say that because my wife and I were reading up on some of the stuff that you've written about your life with your daughter. And my man, you both are heroes, and she's a rock star, but you already knew that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I definitely didn't put you up to saying it because I wouldn't have you say it because, you know, now I'm getting all blushed. No. All right. Well, let's move on. But thank you. That's very, very kind of you. And it is much appreciated. And Julie is a rock star. No, we'll definitely agree on that one. I need to know, though, I'm looking at Fox News, Secret Service putting DEI first. I'm looking at a legal settlement for Strzok and Page at the FBI. Jimmy, I'm just putting the ball in your court, brother. Where do you want to go? What do you want to say? What's going on?
Yeah, let's compartmentalize this so we don't blur lines. And I was laughing in the run-up when you said, you know, Jimmy's retired, so now he can say anything. Jeff, you didn't know me when I was in the Bureau, but I got into a lot of trouble for saying things. So. But now I'm just unfettered, and I don't have to worry about being sanctioned. And
Love it. And
I'm kidding. Let's do this in order. You're
yes.
always careful, and I always appreciate when you say and acknowledge that the men and women of federal law enforcement, the men and women of law enforcement writ large,
yeah.
but at the FBI and at the Secret Service, they are good and just damn good and decent people. And unfortunately, you know, it seems like it began somewhere around 2015, 2016, during the run-up to the 2016 election,
yep.
that decisions that were made at the top just appeared to have a bit of a partisan influence to them. And people can debate that and argue that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is an inarguable fact with what the four different Office of the Inspector General reports came out, and a lot of things. And you mentioned the settlement with Peter Strzok and Lisa Page.
Yeah.
It did sicken me. Now, having said that, you know, anything you put on a government device, I have a computer at work, and it's a computer that belongs to Village Hall. If I send something on it, it is subject to FOIA, the Freedom of Information Law up here.
Right.
In the federal government, it's FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that those text messages were released, look, when you give things to Congress, you just expect that there is no sanctity or privacy.
Right.
But for Peter Strzok to get $1 million and Lisa Page to get $800,000, Jeff, that's U.S. taxpayer money.
Mm.
It is quite sickening. I'll say that just to preface things. Let's start with the Secret Service first. So we know that early last week, then director Kimberly Cheadle resigned. It was the right thing to do. She took far too long to do it. And I would have appreciated, I think many Americans would, seeing the President of the United States make that decision, but he just can't seem to fire anybody. So everybody knew that she must go. And this is the amazing thing. It's the only thing that united the left and the right is that you had, you know, people in Congress on both sides of the aisle calling for her to step down, and that's essentially what it took. She appeared before the House Oversight and Accountability Committee. It was an embarrassment. Now, I understand, and this also goes with Director Wray, the FBI director, that people in the United States Secret Service, the director, is a political appointee. The FBI director is a political appointee. However, the oversight of them is Congress. And in Article 1 and Article 2, I believe, in the Constitution, it lays out enumerated powers, which says, states that Congress is the oversight authority of those folks in those federal executive branch positions. And it's just disappointing. This has been going on probably for the last decade and a half, where you see people brought up to the Hill to testify. And in the instance of the Secret Service director, and yes, even the FBI director, Jeff, mm-hmm. they didn't come voluntarily. They had to do it under subpoena. And it just, that kind of "you can't make me come unless you subpoena me" thing, I understand scheduling issues, I understand things like that, but Jeff, it just gives people, the American people, the sense that we're not getting the straight scoop, and it just
right.
it does a disservice. I mean, you would agree with that, correct? I mean, you have to subpoena the FBI director, you have to subpoena the the Department of Homeland Security
secretary.
Yes, it's wrong. So we know that Director Cheadle stepped down. It's the right thing to do. She should have been fired, but she wasn't. The FBI director then appears before the same Oversight and Accountability Committee a couple of days later. I think it was on Wednesday. And I thought it was interesting because I thought for the first time, and you know me, I am a C-SPAN junkie, so I watched it from gavel to gavel.
Right.
And it was interesting that he did provide a little bit more clarity and insight into the investigation. Now, important for your listeners to understand, there is a clear lane. There's two separate lanes here.
Okay.
The Secret Service is conducting an internal investigation of this, and I'll use the term colossal. I don't think it's overly hyperbolic.
No.
Colossal collapse in security that took place in Butler, Pennsylvania. The president has also initiated a private inquiry into it. I don't know who he's using, contractors, people from the Department of Justice. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI has a separate lane. The FBI is investigating what happened and how a 20-year-old kid was able to get up on a roof 130 yards away from a former president and a current candidate for the office and be able to fire off 8 rounds before he was taken out by a Secret Service sniper. So two separate different investigations going on. I thought the FBI director did better,
mm-hmm.
but my bar is usually pretty set low there because there are a number of things he can't speak to, but generally speaking, watching him engage in that little kind of the hook and jab and the duck and cover, it does not give a good look to the FBI, and I know you agree with that.
I do, and I'll tell you what, Jimmy, I'm pained by it. I really am. I'm pained by it because we talk about, the BRIC agents, those folks, who are out there every single day doing exactly what needs to be done, and they're caught in the middle of this. And then you have, I don't know what the comparable thing is for the Secret Service, but in the FBI, you've got this seventh floor, and it just seems like it's politics ahead of other things. And for Christopher Wray to sit there and go, well, I don't know if Donald Trump was shot. I thought, dude, everybody knows that he was shot.
Yeah.
It's an embarrassment.
Jeff, that was, in tennis terms, we would say an unforced error.
Yes.
And the next day, there was a cleanup on aisle three because the FBI immediately put out a statement and stated that the director acknowledges that whether or not it was a bullet or whether or not it was a fragment. Now, a bullet means the lead that comes out of a shell casing, right? So you've got, for a round, it contains a casing, and then there's powder inside of it, there's a primer, and then there's the actual bullet, which is the lead.
Mm-hmm.
So he cleaned that up and said maybe, because if a bullet hits something else before it reaches its intended target, it could be considered a fragment. I thought it was sloppy, unprofessional. I'm going to give the director the benefit of the doubt, but what it did was, Jeff, it fueled the conspiracy theorists on the left and the people that have surmised that this was a Hollywood act and the president put this on and he was just trying to gain sympathy and this was a bunch of nonsense. And so the FBI director came out the next day and fixed it, and I thought that was the right thing to do.
I would agree with you, Jimmy. I think it was the right thing to do. I also, Christopher Wray is a smart guy, and I get it. There are moments, I look at folks like Christopher Wray, and I'm thinking, you're thinking so far above where I am, maybe I just missed it. But that just seemed to be, you said it, an unforced error. This was sloppy, it was irresponsible, and yes, they corrected it within 24 hours. But in those 24 hours, that nonsense took off in the left-wing conspirosphere. And they are all convinced this was just a big show, and now let's move on and coronate the vice president as president.
Yeah, and Jeff, you stated it perfectly. The FBI director is worried about terrorist threats. He's worried about the People's Republic of China, the Communist Party stealing state secrets and intellectual theft, intellectual property theft. He's worried about gangbangers and drug dealers and kidnappers and child pornographers. Yes, he has oversight of all those things. But he also knows that this assassination attempt where a courageous father shielded his family and lost his life, a volunteer firefighter, and two other people were gravely wounded, this is the number one case/investigation going on in the country right now. And here's the other thing. These are the little things that I pick at where He was asked by a congressman, and I forget who it was, so forgive me on that. I don't want to misstate. Okay. But he was asked, did the subject with the rifle, the alleged shooter, we can call him the shooter. I mean, I know you got to put alleged in front of it in court, but he was the shooter. Did the shooter have a scope on his rifle? So we know the rifle was an AR-15, which is a popular hunting rifle, and it's popular. It's popular from Florida up to Maine, all the way across to California, right?
That's
very,
right.
Very popular weapon. Did it have a scope on it? That is important, and it's important, and it would be something that would be one of the first things that an investigation would uncover. And he goes, I believe so, but I really don't want to say I'm not sure. And I'm thinking to myself, no one is expecting him to be a ballistics expert, but you're the FBI director. You're appearing in front of Congress, knowing whether or not there was a loophole 10x scope or a red dot aim point or whether the kid was using mechanical sights. That's important. Just like whether or not, you know, the Secret Service learned that the kid had a, and I say kid, 20 years old, he's a grown man, had a rangefinder, was spotted, you know, an hour or so beforehand and then lost somewhere in the crowd or whatever, and then ends up on top of a roof that's not covered. Jeff, colossal systems failure, cascading events. This is what happens when bad things happen. One little glitch leads to another, and we call that cascading systems failures. And I want to give the Secret Service the benefit of the doubt, but I have a feeling that this investigation is not going to be pretty when the results are made public.
Wow. Jimmy Galliano joining us. A couple more moments. Retired supervisory special agent speaking out, offering his insight, his analysis, great piece up at Fox News talking about this. Now, Jimmy, I saw a report today that said Butler police in Pennsylvania were never contacted by the Secret Service. They didn't speak with the Secret Service until after the shooting. And I said, well, that's outrageous if it's true. And then I took a step back and said, okay, I grew up in Pennsylvania, so I know there's all these different governmental agencies. There is a city of Butler. There's a township of Butler. There's a county of Butler. So I don't know which of the three they're talking about. I find it absolutely unfathomable to think that somebody on the advance team from the Secret Service did not interact with local law enforcement. That could not have happened, could it?
It could not have, but again, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt here in this sense. This was not a national special security event. What's an NSSE, a national special security event? It's like a political, economic, religious, social event of significance, and the RNC that just took place in Milwaukee, Jeff, is a perfect example of that. It's planned out a year in advance.
Okay.
There is a plethora of resources, abundance of resources. When you have a president, like a former president, and a candidate like Donald Trump, who travels a lot, who wants to be out there, wants to shake hands, kiss babies, see his constituents and do that, these things get planned a few days, if a week or so out in advance. So, and the fact that it's already been confirmed, and a guy like him, his people that are loyal to him love him.
That's
people
right.
that can't stand him, his detractors hate him.
That's
polarizing guy. You have to have more folks on there than they had. So I think that is going to be something. And look, Jeff, the Secret Service was the brainchild of Abraham Lincoln. Ironic that he was the first president to be killed by an assassin's bullet. They did not come online as an agency, I think, until the summer of 1865. Lincoln was killed in April of 1865.
Mm-hmm.
There have only been three other assassinations, Garfield in 1881, McKinley in 1901, and then, of course, Kennedy in 1963. There have been some near misses.
Right.
Anytime there's a near miss, anytime there's an assassination, an agency needs to do some soul searching. When your one job is, and I know they have other responsibilities, but when their number one job is protection of the president or protection of the protectees that fall under their mission. And Jeff, that's why this report, I have a feeling it's going to be scathing. What the coordination was, the interoperability issues were, what was missed, who decided how many resources were going to be available. And Jeff, the American public and Congress deserve answers, and I hope they're going to be forthcoming soon.
I would hope so. Jimmy, thank you so much for all of your time this afternoon. That is Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. There's simply nobody better. I'm going to tell you that again and again and again. We are blessed that Jimmy taking time from appearing with Fox News and writing for the New York Post and all the other stuff he does on this national and international scale that he has time for us. I will remind you, I promise you this, because I always give Jimmy some time to talk about the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, and I'm screwing that up today, so when I have a couple of seconds, I'm going to give you the details because I want you to be able to stand up and help support the good guys and gals that do the job. In this case, there's a lot that's coming out with the Secret Service report. It is not going to be pretty. It is just as simple as that. 351, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I feel like I should have an adult beverage in my hand as I'm listening to this. Did you notice what I'm not doing? I am not begging you to vote for me for the Best Afternoon Show. It's over. Ended yesterday, and God willing, I won't be talking about it for another year, and I think that's good. I think that's good. Lovely text coming here from Roxanna. I'm not going to gargle on the air. No, stop that. Well, maybe a little bit of gargling on there. I'll do it in the next hour. But Roxanna reaches out on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line. She says, Jeff, I love you and I love John, but I have a total crush on Jimmy Galliano. I always love it when he is on. On a personal side note, I'm jealous of your Israel trip, Roxanna. Well, thank you, Roxanna. Number one, I appreciate the fact that you love me and you love John. I don't honestly know if John is back tomorrow. Now, I was texting with him this morning, and he was sitting in the airport in Paris. So we'll have to double-check, Germ. I mean, if he's coming back, he's coming back. We'll be listening at 6 o'clock in the morning. And if not, you know, there'll be some folks standing, and it'll be just fine, I assure you. I will tell you a little bit about this upcoming trip to Israel and my adventure this morning. Trying finally to book this ticket was crazy. Yesterday, I had it all set, and I was just doing it on my my app for this particular airline, and I kept pushing the little, you know, complete the sale, complete the sale, complete the sale, and it wouldn't work. And then the app crashed. So I thought, all right, I'll do it. And I came this morning to do it, and prices had shot up to a point where I just was not going to be able to do it. But I'll give you a few details. Maybe you got a few suggestions. We'll talk about that. Lori Warren from Richmond Raceway Complex is coming. Yes, indeed. Racing is returning, and Lori knows all about it. 358 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.